Lord, we pray for a divine impartation to occur. Would everybody please pray this out loud? Holy Spirit, I open my heart to revelation knowledge. I grant you permission to challenge my thinking, change my life, move me to higher ground. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, write this title down, particularly if you have not been with us previously. We're in the middle of a series entitled, The Authority of God's Word. The Authority of God's Word. And this is our fourth session on the subject. In particular, today's message, and this is the subtitle, would be this, Benefits of His Word. Oh, I like it already. Everybody say benefits. Benefits. How many of you know there's benefits in God's Word? You know, a lot of people, they look at the Bible and they're kind of, perhaps they've been turned off by religion. They kind of see the Bible as a, you know, kind of a book that's out to spoil their fun. It's a book that's full of don't do this and don't do that, and for God's sake, don't do it on Sunday. And, you know, they kind of have this warped perspective of the Bible. You know the way I see the Bible? I see the Bible as God's success manual given to man. I see the Bible not as a legalistic document that's out to spoil Jason's fun. I see the Bible, the Holy Word of God, as God's success manual given to us so that we can have His benefits and experience His blessings on every level of life. Now, how many of you want to see the Word of God that way? Now, when we talk about the authority of the Word of God, we've already talked about giving the Word preeminence. We had a whole session on the preeminence of God's Word. We've talked about the seed of God's Word. We've talked about engrafting God's Word. And as I said, today we're focusing on the benefits of God's Word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. If this verse is not marked in your Bible, honey, please mark it in your Bible. This is one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. It says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein occasionally." Is that what your Bible says? Oh, I'm sorry, that was the perverted paraphrase. All right, let's see. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Everybody say day and night.
Day and night.
"That thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then." Now, circle the little phrase "for then," because this is what we might call an if-then clause. If you do what God's encouraging us to do in that verse, then there are going to be results or benefits forthcoming. He says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Hallelujah. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, some of the other versions translate that phrase "good success" this way, "then thou shalt deal wisely." And you know, in the Hebrew mind, success was equated to dealing wisely in life. So when we go through life and we face a decision, a choice, a challenge, an offense, whatever life throws our way, we can go to the Word of God, and if we've been meditating on the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, desiring to do the Word of God, and we begin to make choices. Everyone say choices.
Choices.
Choices. Write this in your notes. Choices are your primary tickets to the blessings of God. Choices are your primary tickets to the blessings of God. Your choices. See, most people just want you to lay hands on them and impart, oh, just impart the blessing. Well, I believe that laying on of hands can, to a degree, impart blessing. But you know what? I can't live your life for you by just laying hands on you. You know, when you go out and you have to make choices, who am I going to marry? What job am I going to have? How do I respond to this? How do I treat that person? Well, you know, they've been ugly to me. What am I going to do now? The choices that you make will determine the consequences that you reap. It's really seed time and harvest. Now, let's think about Joshua. How many of you like to have been Joshua? Joshua was a guy trying to fill the shoes of Moses. Anybody in here like to try to follow Moses, Zach? I mean, this is the guy that could split the Red Sea. This is the guy that, you know, if they argued with him, the ground opened up and swallowed people. gives a whole new definition to the underground church, don't it? Hallelujah. There's some people part of the underground church. Ought to be anyway. You just swallow them up. Where'd they go? Well, they just joined the underground church. Amen. I'm glad we live in the New Testament, don't you? Everybody say, thank God for grace.
Thank God for grace.
Or we'd all be down there with the underground church. Joshua is now being called to fill this man's shoes, and no doubt there was a little temptation to be intimidated. I mean, if I was trying to follow and act like Moses, like, okay, step up, try to part the sea, you know, you just slap in the water, nothing's happening. It's like, hey, you're out of here, next guy. And so Joshua was, and I can tell, I'm reading between the lines, Joshua was feeling a lack of courage. Because the verse is above it and below it, and we'll see this in a moment. Over and over again, God says, be courageous. I've commanded you. He didn't say, I suggest to be courageous. He says, I command you to be courageous. Well, I don't feel like I'm courageous. I didn't ask you how you felt. I'm commanding you to act courageous. Go out there and fake it until you make it. Trust me, you can do better. Everybody say, I can do better. Oh, that's about half of you. Everybody say, I can do better. You better watch out. I don't got no wire on this thing. I can come right down the aisle and get you. I'll just point you out and prophesy. Let's say to God, thou can do better. Hallelujah. You can be more courageous. You can be more daring. You can trust God more than you've ever trusted God. But he's saying to Joshua, Joshua will never be able to do it. It's not in self that the courage is going to come from. It's through meditating in my word. The benefits thereof, Joshua. The benefits of meditating in my word means that you're going to be the kind of leader that you need to be that can possess the promised land. Now I believe this. I believe that God has a promised land for every person in this auditorium, spiritually speaking. And that promised land is the will of God. I want you to write that down. The will of God for your life equals the promised land. The will of God. And as you begin to do the will of God, and God begins to lead you into the will of God, there's a provision, there's milk and honey to feed you and take care of your plan and your mission, your destiny. There's some giants there, but hallelujah, you can overcome those giants. But you got to have the word. Everybody say benefits. Everybody say benefits. Now, you know, if I don't understand the benefit of something, I'm not apt to want it. But once somebody shows me the benefits, hey, all of a sudden, desire rises up. Now, it occurred to me as I was putting these outlines together that when we talk about the authority of God's Word, you know, it might go in somebody's ear and out the other. Until they get, the light comes on, it's like benefits. It's sad, but some people, you know, they're motivated about what's in it for me. Benefits. Everybody say benefits.
Benefits.
So, you know, you go look at a car. And I'll go back in time a little bit when they first came out with cars with air conditioning. And so, you know, hey, this is an option. I mean, you can get the stripped down version, but the option is air conditioning package. And I don't know what they cost back then. Let's just pull and figure out. $200. $200, we can throw in air conditioning. Well, I really don't know if I want that or not. So they say, let's take a test drive. Oh, glory. Everybody say a test drive. And now this is July in the South. This is in Georgia, Alabama, or Mississippi. I mean, it's hot, it's humid. It's down in Houston where, I mean, you know, you swim to work, hallelujah, through the humidity. And they give you a test drive with the option. He says, roll up the windows. Oh, I wouldn't dare roll the windows up. This is the middle of summer. I said, roll the windows up. He rolled the windows up. And he cranks it up. Everybody say, he cranks it up. Well, he cranks it up. All of a sudden, you have never felt such cool air coming out those vents in your life. All of a sudden, there's air conditioning. And before you get back to the lot, desire. I don't have $200, but I'll find a way to get it. Are you out there?
Yes.
Desire. I mean, once you see the benefits thereof, you'll find a way to get it. Now, I want to compare that to the Christian life. You know, there's a lot of Christians going through life with the stripped-down version of salvation. They don't got air conditioning. They don't got AM, FM. They don't got a CD player. Oh, yeah, they'll get to heaven, but they're going to know they've been on a trip by the time they get there. You know, I could get to California. I could go out here and buy some little, you know, Yugo deal. And if you got a Yugo, don't get offended at me, all right? Because you will go in a Yugo. Hallelujah. But if I were to drive a Yugo with no air conditioning all the way to California, I will, by the time I get there, I'll know I have been on a trip. My body will be telling me. Or I could drive in a Lincoln Town Car. Oh, glory. That adjusts itself as it goes down the road. It's got air conditioning. It's got AM. It's got surround sound. Everybody say surround sound. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't look at me so holy like you don't want those options. You got them sitting out there in the parking lot. I know you do. Don't, you lying thing, you religious thing. Sitting there looking at me like, we don't want the options. Oh, yes, you do. You've got them. Now, or I could get on a jet. Oh, now that's even faster. Get on a jet. I could sit in the chicken section. And I've been on some mission trips where I have sat in the chicken section. Feathers and all. But I'd rather ride in a real seat. Amen? Are you getting the picture? There's a lot of Christians that go through life, and they go through life, they never understand the authority of God's Word. They never understand how they need to give the Word preeminence over everything in their life. Feelings, we've talked about this, circumstances, situations. But they really never latch a hold of the fact that if they'll get on the Word, if they'll get on the Word, if they'll make the Word of God the center of their life, there are benefits to be had, spirit, soul, and body. How many of you want to prosper in the will of God? How many of you want to accomplish what God's told you to do? Well, this verse is for you. Look at it. Don't miss it. If it's not marked, as I said, circle it. I've got it in gold in my Bible. I've got a Christmas pen that writes in gold, and I circled verse 8. It says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now look at verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Did you know Joshua had the courage rise up in him once he got on the Word? Now I want everybody to say this out loud. God's Word is my ticket to the promised land. God's Word has benefits for my life, spirit, soul, and body, in every way, benefits. Now, jot this down, and I want to tie this into what we talked about, seeds. Why do we need to meditate in the Word? Why do we need to talk the Word? Notice he says, it'll not depart out of your mouth. Everybody say, my mouth. See, there's a connection between your words and your heart, evidently, because in this one verse he says meditate, and he also says mouth. So there's a connection there. But the seeds, when you study, meditate the Word of God, the seeds go into the inner life. Write that down. We talked last week about you've got two worlds. You've got an inner world and an outer world. You've got an inner life. What's your inner life? The inner life is you on the inside. That's your soul. And so when I meditate the Word of God, the seed of God's Word goes down in me and begins to germinate to create in me that which is necessary. In Joshua's case, courage. Confidence. Don't compare yourself to Moses. You're Joshua. You've got a different mission than Moses. So be who you are. Be confident in who you are. The very next verse says, then he commanded the people. He had the ability to command the people after God had commanded him about courage. But we also need to launch the Word with our mouth, and that concerns, write this down, the outer life or the outer world. So I need to seed my family. I need to seed my business. I need to seed my ministry. I need to seed my entire life with God's Word. So I'm constantly planting seed on the inside and on the outside. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now let me tell you what happened just last night. This is hot off the wire, right out of the oven. Last night I was getting ready to go to bed, and it was about 11, right about 11 o'clock, and we get a long distance call. Well, we didn't know it was long distance, an initial call. Joanna runs in and says, "Dad, there's somebody on the phone that wants to talk to you." Now, you know, I got my shorts on and I'm like headed to the bed. You know what I'm saying? It's like bedtime for me. I got a big day tomorrow. Looking forward to it. I want to get some good rest. Plus, my air conditioner's working now. Amen. My air conditioner hadn't been working for a week, so I was looking forward to air-conditioned sleep. Amen. Yeah. and the benefits thereof. And so I thought, you know how your flesh first reacts. Of course, I know y'all are beyond this and y'all are entirely sanctified. My flesh was like, who wants to talk to me at 11? You know what I'm saying? And so I said, no, I need to talk to him. So I said, hello, this guy is so pumped up. He's calling me from the St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota area. And he's heard my radio broadcast. And it's the guy, Gary Van Sickle. The guy that gave $750. We had a guy call unsolicited. I mean, wasn't even mentioned on the broadcast. He called about a week ago and put $750 on his card as a donation for our radio broadcast. He calls me up because I had tried to call him back to thank him, and he saw it on his ID caller thing. He calls me. He said, Jason, I cannot tell you how your radio broadcast has absolutely changed my life. He said, I am so pumped up about the Word of God. I mean, this guy's preaching to me. I'm just laying there going, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I told Martha. I said, I wish I'd had a recorder to record what this man said. And I literally would have played it here, you know, on Sunday morning to let you hear the newness, the freshness of somebody who's catching a vision of the authority of God's Word in their life. And he said this, he said, what you said, he said, I'd always heard people say that God wants you to be prosperous. And he said, I'd never, you know, I didn't quite understand that. And he said, in fact, sometimes I resented that and I wondered why it wasn't necessarily working in my life. He said, but I heard you say this on your broadcast. He said, you said that if you are a believer, you are already prosperous because Jesus lives in your heart. Now, as simple as that sounds to us, he said, when you said that, suddenly it clicked. He said, I don't have to try to become prosperous. He said, I am prosperous. Therefore, I will be prosperous. What's on the inner world will eventually manifest on the outer world. And this guy was just preaching up a storm to me. Now, and the ladies will understand this. Barbara and Linda will understand this. He said, you tell that Barbara in the office. Now, I'm preaching to you now, Barbara. Because Barbara, evidently, you ministered, blessed his socks off. He had to put on two just because you blessed one off. He said, you tell that Barbara in the office that I've got the vision of God's Word, and for her to put another $750 this next week on the credit card for the radio broadcast. I said, come on, come on. Now you see, I trust God. I spend $10,000 a month for our radio broadcasts. I had one lady come up to me once. She said, how much do they pay you to be on the radio? I'm like, hello. If they paid you to be on the radio, then everybody be on the radio. Everybody be called into the ministry. Amen. You know, when you consider the airtime and the production cost to pay Dennis Williams and the cost of getting all the tapes out, it's right about $10,000 is what we spend. And you know what? It's all free will offering stuff. And I'm telling you what, when this guy called, it just sent an excitement through our office. And when he called last night, I mean, I slept good last night. Amen? And he was so pumped about the Word of God. Why? He understood the benefits. Everyone say the benefits. Now, go with me. Let's go to another passage. Go with me to Psalm 112. And you better put your seatbelt on for this one. Psalm 112, because you're going to get so blessed when you read Psalm 112, you're likely to have rapture practice. You are likely to go up, you know, prior to the return of Jesus. And we'll have to get you back down. Psalm 112. This psalm is so powerful on the benefits of God's Word. And this is a psalm that I would encourage you to pray, personalize, and decree on a regular basis over your life, regardless of what you do in life. Psalm 112. He says, praise ye the Lord. Can we all say that? Praise. Well, the reason this guy was in a praising mood is because he understood about what he's getting ready to write here. He says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Now, there's two things I want you to catch in verse 1, because that word fear can be translated worship. So this guy, he's hooked, he's addicted to worship and the Word. I want you to write that down. He's on worship, he's a worshiper, and he's a word man. It says, praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that worships the Lord and that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Everybody say blessed. Now he's getting ready to itemize the blessings. And if this wasn't in your Bible, you'd probably shout me down and tell, you'd probably say, Jason, you're exaggerating. Oh, no, no, that couldn't be in the Bible. Guess what? It's in the Baptist Bible. It's in the Methodist Bible. It's in the Catholic Bible. It's in the Charismatic Bible. It's in the UFO Unidentified Faith Object Bible. You don't know what you are yet. Look at verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. You need to mark that. Parents, you need to claim that for your children. How many of you want your seed to be mighty on the earth instead of beat up and pitiful? The generation of the upright shall be marked blessed. Everybody say, I am blessed. Now look at me. Look at me. If you've had the hardest week of your life, I want you to say it as a faith confession. I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in the mafia's house. My God. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Could we say it? Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Now some of you are just having a hard time saying that. Because your religious spirit, there's an old religious spirit. Well, the less you have, the holier you are. Well, go tell that to the people in India. I've been there. And they are not blessed, worshiping false gods, living on dirt floors with no medicine available in so many cases. That old religious stuff just won't fly down in Central America. I've been there. Go to the Philippines where I've been. Tell them that. Tell them that the less they have, the better off they are. They've had it. They know that there's a better way. Our God, who paves the streets in gold, can take care of us right now on this earth. And he says, mark it in your Bible, he says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Now, lest we forget, whose house? Go back to verse 1. The guy who is worshiping and the guy who's on the Word. He worships God and he's a Word person. It says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So it's not a wealth that can be obtained unrighteously. And we all know of people who have plenty of money that don't even think about God. And guess what? The Bible's very clear. Not only will it pass away, they will just pass from the scene. He says, no, this guy has done it righteously. Verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. I want you to mark that. That's guidance, folks. God will give you guidance. He'll turn on the flashlight when you don't know what to do and show you which way to go. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. That's the kind of person he is. He's a gracious person. Somebody, you know, lets you down. Well, you're gracious about it. You don't hold their feet to the fire and throw the law at them. You're gracious. How many of you have ever had somebody be gracious with you? You were late for an appointment, and instead of raking you over the coals, they just said, oh, that's okay. I understand. I've been late too. Gracious. Full of compassion, righteous. Verse 5. A good man shows favor, I want you to mark this, and lendeth, or that word can also be translated giveth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. So in verse 5 in the margin, maybe you ought to put this. He's a giver. He's not stingy. He's a giver. And he also has wisdom. Discretion means wisdom. So he's going through life making wise choices. How? Go back to verse 1. He's a worshiper and he's on the Word. Verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever, and the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You need to mark that. His heart has been fixed. Some of you need a heart fix. You know, say, oh, we're going to have to do open heart surgery. Some of you need to let the Holy Ghost do open heart surgery on you in the Spirit, because you're still bitter about something that happened in your childhood or a divorce situation. Somebody let you down and you're still living in the past. It's time to move on and let it go. It's time to move on and let it go and let God fix your heart and go forward in God. Notice it says he shall not be moved. I can't tell you how many Christians I hear all the time that, ooh, I'm afraid I might backslide. Why don't you get afraid you might front slide? You could make progress, you know what I'm saying? Always being afraid you're going to backslide. I'd rather go forward. A front slider. Like those baseball players, man, going to the second base. You go front, go forward. Amen. Safe. Everybody say safe. It says his heart is fixed, trusting. See, when you're in the Word and you're a worshiper, you'll be apt to trust God. Trusting in the Lord. Verse 8. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. The Word of God will drive out fear until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. Here it is again. Mark verse 9. He's a giver. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. By the way, if you have a good cross-reference, verse 9 is quoted in 2 Corinthians 9. That's where Paul builds part of his giving philosophy. It says in verse 9, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn, that is his lot in life, shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. How many of you know not everybody's excited when you get a blessing? Amen. Have you discovered that not every Christian's excited when you get a blessing? Some Christians are just like the next part. He shall gnash with his teeth. You know, you say, ooh, I got a new house. The Lord gave me a new house. And you can just see them. They're just gnashing on their teeth. Why wasn't it me? Well, if you're a worshiper, and if you honor the Word, and you started doing the Word, God will get you there. They drive up in a new car, and they can't even get excited. You know, people can't even get excited with a friend about a new car. Well, I know what he's doing with his tithe. Instead of rejoicing. How many of you know we should rejoice with others? Yes. You might be sitting next to a... Don't ask me to spell that. I can't spell that. A gnasher. Instead of a rejoicer. Everybody say this out loud. I purpose
to rejoice
with others who are rejoicing.
Amen.
Amen. All right, maybe you're driving, you know, an old beat-up car and that's not your desire, but go over there and get excited about what God's done for that person. Get pumped about it. You know what? Then you're more likely to have a blessing come your way. Being gracious in your heart. It says, the wicked shall see it, they shall be grieved. Gnash with his teeth. It says, the desire of the wicked shall perish. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Now, I want to share an illustration with you, and I encourage you to draw this in your notes. So this is going to take some imagination, because I have a faith chalkboard up here. Everyone say, by faith,
I see
your chalkboard. You've got real faith today. I want to draw, and we've used this on our Friday night sessions in teaching on faith. I want to draw a train that has three cars to it. And if you've not gotten this before, I want you to get this. I want you to draw the engine. So you're going to have to be creative. I want you to draw a little box, put wheels on it, put a smokestack on it, have some little smoke coming out of it. I mean, go Hollywood with it, all right? I mean, make it look good. And so you've got an engine on the train. A little smokestack, smoke coming out. All right, the second car, I want you to draw a little box, put wheels on it, and draw little dark circles in it like it's a coal car. It's carrying coal, which is the fuel. We're going to use the old coal car illustration. And so the second car is the coal car, which is the fuel. And then the third car that I want you to put on your diagram, and you may want to do a double stacker, do two little boxes, the caboose. Try to draw a little cute little caboose, a little double stacker deal, put wheels on it. And you know the caboose, that's the warm, fuzzy, the red thing where the guy waves at you as he's going down the track. And all the kids go, Mommy, I saw the caboose. Now I want to label these, and you're going to get a revelation when you see this. I want you to label the engine underneath your diagram or on top of it, label the engine God's Word. God's Word. That's what pulls the Christian life, as it were, down the track. I want you to label the coal car faith. And then I want you to draw an arrow pointing the coal towards the engine. Because the coal's got to go where? In the engine. That's the fuel. And so you've got God's Word that pulls the train. You've got the fuel that's going to fuel that thing is faith. And I want you to label the caboose feelings. That little beautiful red caboose with the guy on the back with a lantern that waves at the kids. Feelings. Are you getting anything out of this? The problem is most Christians are trying to pull their experience with the caboose. They're putting faith in the caboose. Don't put the coal in the caboose. Put the coal in the engine. Now, may I ask you this? Can that train go down the track without an engine? I know it's Sunday, but folks, this is not rocket science. You can get this. Can the train go down the track without an engine? Can it go down the track without fuel? Could it possibly go down the track without the caboose?
Yes.
There you go. Most Christians, they're not being driven by the authority of God's Word. They are putting faith in their experience. Oh, I went down to the meeting and I felt, ooh, I had goosebumps on top of goosebumps. It was awesome. It was so, well, God can do that, but you know what? You can't live there. You can't live there. You got to get them to go to work. You got to go shopping. You got to get your car to the shop. I mean, you got to do things in life. You better get a hold of this where your faith is in God's Word, not in your feelings. Well, I don't feel prosperous. Faith in the Word, not faith in my feelings. I don't feel like anybody loves me. Faith in the Word, not faith in your feelings. Oh, I feel like everything's going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, I'm just tired of this. Faith in the Word instead of faith in your feelings. Getting this? The average Christian is going down the track backwards. And they're trying to get the Word to work by putting feelings first, and that is not going to happen. You say, well, what if... Look at Psalm 112 before we leave there. You know, this could make some people feel bad. I mean, look at verse 3, wealth and riches. I mean, if you're just barely treading water right now financially, you didn't really want to read that verse. You know what? Because you don't feel like verse 3 is for you. You better put faith in the Word here. Am I challenging you yet? I've gone from teaching to preaching, haven't I? Hallelujah. Well, Brother Jason, I just don't... You know, I've prayed about it and I don't have any direction. Verse 4, light in darkness. You better put faith. Just go around and say, Father, I just thank You because I honor You and I honor Your Word that light is arising to me in dark places. Lord, maybe I'm just barely paying my bills right now. Maybe I've lost my job, or maybe they're giving me notice that they're going to have to cut back. Father, I just thank You wealth and riches will be in my house. Faith in the Word. You say, it feels so fake. Well, I guess it gets back to what do you believe? Do you believe God's Word is superior to feelings, or do you believe feelings are superior to the Word? And God is calling us to walk under the authority of His Word. The authority of His Word. Psalm 119. Just kind of hang a right and go to Psalm 119. Now, if you're familiar with this, I promise we will not read every verse. I thought I'd just share every verse with you today. Psalm 119. There's only 160 verses. No, let's see. How many? 176. Amen. Where's everybody going? Come back. We'd be preaching on this till next Sunday. What I've decided to do is I want you to mark these in your Bible and or maybe write them in your notebook. But I thought I'd just hit some of the highlights. And you may want to, in your notes there, just transition, put the benefits of God's Word. And as we go through here, you're going to see all kinds of benefits when you begin to put the Word first place. Psalm 119, look at verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy what? And look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin. So I want you to write this down. One of the benefits of the Word of God is it protects you from sin. It protects you from sin. How does it do that? Well, because when you have an opportunity to make a choice, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will quicken the Word to you. You'll remember the Word and you'll be coached or counseled by the Word in your thought life, which will overcome that temptation. And so, you know, if a young man, and this is the kind of stuff I go over with the men, by the way, in men's discipleship, and ladies, you need to get your man there. When he thinks he's, you know, too spiritual to go to men's discipleship, you need to just, you know, set his alarm, get him up, kick him out the door and say, don't come back until you bring back that discipleship tape. Hallelujah. Get him discipled. But one of the things I tell the men is this. I say, all right, you know, if you read Proverbs, for instance, we won't turn there, but if you read Proverbs 3 and over in there, where it tells the young man, don't even go the way of the harlot. Guard your eyes. Don't even put yourself in temptation with a woman who's trying to seduce you. And that's not just always at a whorehouse. I'm telling you what, that kind of relationships occur in churches. And it's interesting as a pastor how, you know, I can see guys in their eyes and see how they do a double take. And I've talked to the guys about, you know, you make a covenant. I will not do a double take. And if you stick to that rule, I'll not do a double take, it'll start helping you keep your eyes on the Lord and be faithful to the wife of your youth and your family. Instead of being a statistic in our day and time, your family will stay together and be a strong witness for God. I'll tell you, the strongest thing that we've got going for this church, other than God Himself, is our family. And I hope that doesn't sound vain to you. It's that a church is no better than the pastor's family. I will tell you that that is true. I've been in churches where that's not the case, and it's always so. It doesn't mean you're a perfect family. We know that. But if that husband and wife are tight, and that husband and wife love each other, and they are in the call together, that church will be a successful church. If that relationship right there ever gets undone, it's just a matter of time. You can mark it down. It's a matter of time until deception gets into that church and all kind of strange things start happening. But it's not just pastor. It's you. And so it'll protect you from sin. Everybody say, God's Word will protect me from sin. Okay, go to verse 28. Now here's another benefit. He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Anybody in here ever been heavy? Anybody? He says, my soul melteth. That's a very interesting word picture, isn't it? It's just like you just feel, you know, like you've drooped on the inside like a plant. You've melted away. But notice this. Look at verse 28. Mark it. Strengthen thou me according to thy what? Thy Word. So what is one of the benefits of the Word? Write this down. Inner strength. The inner strength of God. The inner strength of God. Go to verse 50. Verse 50. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction. Anybody ever been afflicted? Or can I put it another way? Anybody ever gone through tests, trials, or challenges? Opportunities in disguise. Oh, yes. Underline this, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. So what does the word bring? It brings comfort and it brings quickening. That is the life of God in the midst of an affliction. Go to verse 65. I know I'm hopping around, but again, it's such a lengthy. Every verse in here is just packed full. It is awesome. By the way, this would be another passage you could pray, decree on a regular basis in your life. Verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. So you know what? God's word brings God's provision. God's word brings God's dealing in our life. God's dealing in our life. All right, let's go over to verse 92. Oh, I like this one. I've been here many times. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. You ever felt like that? Verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction. You know, I'm mindful right now of when some years ago, many years ago, When I went to Caracas, Venezuela, God told me to go to Caracas, Venezuela, and stop taking notes at this point, because a lot of people have tried to copy my testimony, and unless God tells you to do this, you'll be in trouble. But God spoke to me, said, go to Caracas, Venezuela. I did not know anybody. I did not have a contact. He said, only take the clothes that you wear. And all I had was what I had on. I had my Bible case. I did put a toothbrush in my Bible case. I thought, you know, hey, I'd like to see the power come on people, but I don't want to slam in the spirit the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? So I stuck a toothbrush in my Bible. I went to Caracas, Venezuela, and on the jet from Miami going down to Caracas, that's where I changed planes. It's like the devil got on board. Has the devil ever got a ticket on board and sat down right beside you? It's like the devil sat down right beside me, spiritually speaking. And I started hearing these thoughts coming through my head. What are you doing? Don't you know they kill gringos? Well, what's a gringo? You are a gringo. A white boy. They're going to get that white gringos down there. And all this fear tried to start creeping in. Anybody ever been there? And it's like, man, my mind just started wondering, like, what am I doing? And it's like, you know, hey, I don't even have life insurance. This is a bad deal. You start feeling, you know, false condemnation coming on you from every direction. You could have been a better provider. You could have done this. You could have done that. All these things. Until, everybody say until. Until I opened up my Bible and I went to Psalm 46 and I remember what he said. He said, though the mountains fall, though the earth shake, I'm paraphrasing, though it falls in the midst of the sea, we will not fear, for God is with us. I began to read the Bible to the devil. Some of you need to read the Bible to your fear. Some of you need to read the Bible to the devil that's attacking you, and this will happen to you. You'll be strengthened and you will conquer that affliction in your life. Everybody say, without your word, everybody say, without your word, I would perish. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 92. Go to verse 92. Go to 97. Verse 97. There's three verses here, four verses here that are just so powerful. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. May I just pause here, and please don't answer this out loud, but would you just answer, how much do you love God's word? Have you read the Word since we were together last week? How much do you love the Word? Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation occasionally. Shout me down now. All the day. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies. And our enemies, the Satan and his devils. Thou hast made me wiser than enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Praise God. I claimed that one when I was in school. Amen. Now, probably wouldn't be too smart to go up to your teachers and tell them that. I am smarter than you. Did you know that? But I did. I claimed that. I went to a state school before I transferred to Oral Roberts University. I remember I had a philosophy class, and this guy was an educated idiot. And, you know, he was making us memorize proofs where logical proofs that God doesn't exist. I just sat there and I thought about this very verse right here. I thought, man, this guy, according to the Bible, is a fool. And I have more understanding than a guy who has a PhD. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, Plato, Socrates, all those guys, because I keep thy precepts. So what is it? We have wisdom and understanding. You ought to write that in your notes. Wisdom and understanding. Go to Psalm or verse 105. There was a famous song written. Was it Amy Grant that wrote off of this song? Does anybody remember? She sang it. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's what we said before. You ought to mark that down if you didn't earlier. Direction, guidance. God's light, God's direction. He'll direct your steps. He'll direct your steps. Well, there's so many. I'm just looking. Go to 130. Look at verse 130. 130. The entrance of thy word gives what? Light. It gives understanding to the simple. I think we all qualify for that one. Hallelujah. Now, before we leave this, I want to point out to you how thirsty David was. Are you thirsty for God?
Yes.
You know, I scare myself sometimes. And we all go through times where you don't sense that hunger in your heart. I tell you, I actually become afraid of self. When I sense that Jason is not as hungry as Jason ought to be, I remember what David said. And I say, God, please make me thirsty, make me hungry. Look at verses 147 and 148. 147 and 148. He says, I prevented the dawning of the morning, and I cried, I hoped in thy word. Have you ever been so desperate for God in a situation that you got up before the sun came up? You know, when this church, when this project was coming together, many times I would get up 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'll tell you, I'm not saying that to sound spiritual because that is not Jason's pattern, okay? But I was so hungry for God. I was in such need of a miracle. We needed things to come together. I would get up early in the morning, early, and I just read, couldn't sleep. And so I'd go read the Word of God. And inevitably, God's Word would start speaking to me and verses would start quickening to me. And I'd start seeing God's hope for that situation. And now here we sit. Here we sit. How hungry are you? How thirsty are you? Verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. The last one I want to give you this is verse 165. You can't put a price tag on this one. If you could bottle this verse, you'd be a billionaire. You'd be richer than Bill Gates. I am serious. This is what everybody in the world is looking for. Verse 165. Great peace. Everybody say great peace.
Great peace.
I can't live without the peace of God. How about you? He says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know what disturbs our peace? It's when we allow an offense to come our way. You know, that circumstance didn't work out. It's a disappointment. Or somebody says something. Or situation happens, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You better not. You don't got enough to go around. You better go for the peace of God. The peace of God. One last passage. Go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. You get anything out of this? The benefits of God's Word. Now, as we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, I just want to share with you a little bit of my testimony. Did you know it's possible to be a Christian, saved, even baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you don't yet have a revelation of God's Word like I'm talking about? I was at Oral Roberts University, and Oral Roberts University is a great place to go to school. And I'm not saying this to put a bad light on the school, because nothing but good happened to me at Oral Roberts University. In fact, other than Jesus, the next best thing happened to me. I met Martha. Martha Webster, now Martha Peebles. Hallelujah. Fell in love under the prayer tower. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, brother, you should have been praying. Well, there's a time for prayer and there's a time for pursuit. Amen. When the will of God walks by, prayer time's over. Glory! Do I have to teach you men everything? Amen. But I was at Oral Roberts University, and I began to catch about praying in the Spirit. I began to catch seed faith. Oral's big on seed faith. And one of the things the guy said last night when he called me, he said, Jason, I see now that the reason to live is give. That's one of the things that Gary guy said from Minneapolis. And that's one of Oral's big themes. He said, you know, I see now the reason to live is give. And we're not just talking dollars here. We're talking about giving your life to others. Giving your life to others. Helping others. That's the whole reason for living. It's not just going through life getting your problems fixed. Why don't you grow up and get bigger and start helping somebody else fix their problems? And guess what? Your boat load will come in. I still did not have the revelation of God's Word, though. And it wasn't until we went to a church, a faith church, a word church, pastored by a guy named Buddy Harrison. He's with the Lord now. But we went there when that was really one of the only charismatic churches in town. Now they've got gobs of them. But we had gone to another one, a good church, but they did not understand the revelation of the Word of God. And I sat there and I began to hear them talk about, they just talk about the word. I'm like, golly, all they hear talk about here is the Bible. Hello. I think that's what you ought to talk about in church. But you know what? I'm telling you, you go to churches and it's like they'll quote Shakespeare. They'll read an article out of the newspaper. They'll address a social issue. And it's like they'll quote a little, a parable from the Bible, a fable that can apply. But I heard them talking about the word this, the word that. Now, you know what? It just took about a month or two of sitting under that all of a sudden the light came on and I realized, man, why haven't I seen this earlier? I mean, I've always said I believe the Bible. I've read the Bible. Why don't I have this revelation that it's through the Word of God being seeded into my heart and the Word of God being seeded out of my mouth that's going to make the benefits, the option package, air conditioning salvation, hallelujah, come to pass. And you know what? I caught it. Didn't take very long. I caught it. I've never been the same since. Now it's the Word and the Spirit. It's not just the Spirit, it's the Word and the Spirit. I want you to write that down. That's very important because this church stands for the Word and the Spirit. It's not all Spirit and it's not all Word. It's going to be the Word and the Spirit. You go to some churches, even charismatic churches, and all they are is experience-oriented. And again, I'm not against experiences, but every time they come together, they got to get emotional, they got to get hyper, and they never study the Word. Consequently, people go out and they try to live on that emotional high, and they're just waiting for the next conference, waiting for the next meeting, instead of learning to, parents, just like children, you want to see your children go out and make their own decisions. Go out and live the Word. And live the Word as children of God. Amen? Now, look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'll start in verse 1. Such a powerful passage. Simon Peter, a servant. Notice what he puts first. He doesn't say apostle first, does he? Be cautious of people who introduce themselves to you as a title before they have the heart of a servant. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious what? Well, three of you got it. Like precious what? Well, that's 10 of you. Like precious what? Faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. Please circle the word multiplied, because grace is not something you merely get at salvation. Grace, that is God's assistance, God's ability in your life, is something that can increase. How many of you want to increase in God's ability? He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, put a circle around verse 3 and verse 4. Put a bracket around it, do something, because here's how you're going to get a handle on that. If you want to increase in grace, if you want to increase in God's peace, then you've got to get hold of the promises. He says in verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us some things. You better watch it now. How many things? According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto over yonder after death. Verse 3 will revolutionize your life. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Did you know that God has already, notice the tense there, not one day will, already has given you everything you need for your mission. God's already given you everything you need for the church. God's already given you everything you need for your business. God's already given you everything you need for that home, for that job. It's in the spirit realm. It's already been done. Quit asking, start thanking. Write that down. Quit asking, start thanking. Thank you, Jesus, that my business is on the increase. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's an expression of faith. Parents, we know this. If your child comes and says, "Daddy, you know, I need $10. Okay, I'll give you $10. I need to get some change. 5 minutes later, it's like, "Dad, I need $10. Every parent has had this at some time. You're like, "Okay, I told you I was going to give you. I'll give you $10. I haven't gotten change yet. You don't need it. You know, tomorrow is the trip, not today." 15 minutes later, "I need $10. You feel like going, "You ain't going to get $10 until I get the change. It's already done. The commitment's been made. Trust me. Believe me. Thank you, Dad, for the money." That's what Daddy wants to hear. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Do you see that? Are you getting this? How do I get the glory? How do I get the virtue? How do I get the multiplication of peace? How do I get the grace to increase? I got to get the promises. Now put this in your own shorthand somehow, but get hold of this. We want to finish on this. The promises of God's Word are similar or analogous to capsules of medicine. If the doctor says, "Did you take your medicine?" "Well, I bought it." "I'm glad you bought it. Did you take it?" "It's on my dresser." "I'm glad it's on your dresser." But the bottle says, "Take 2 capsules 3 times a day. "I don't like to swallow capsules." Well, the capsules got the medicine, and you got to get the medicine in your body. So I know you don't like to swallow capsules, but you must swallow the capsules. Open them up, mix them in water, do something. Get them in your system. You get anything out of this? "I believe the Bible. I believe all the Bible. It's right there on my coffee table. Family edition. Genealogical tree. It's there on my dresser. Oh, it's now in my car. Under my arm. I believe the Bible cover to cover. I even believe the concordance. Hallelujah." Well, aren't you Mr. Super Saint? Hello. Y'all are looking at me like, that doesn't apply to me. How many of you want God to move in your life? Swallow the promises. Take the promises. He says, verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great." Everybody say exceeding great. Honey, once you realize what we're talking about here, it's the promises of God that produced what we're sitting in here. I will tell you that. It's the promises of God that produced the airplane we've got over there. It's the promises of God that produced our house. It's the promises of God that produced everything, not only tangible but intangible, in the believer's life. And the more promises you have that you are standing on and acting on, the more God you're going to have in your life. I'm going to say that again. The more promises, the more God. The problem is people go to a corporate meeting and they are touched by God, but they don't go away with any promises, any word, and suddenly it vaporizes and they don't have that feeling anymore. And they never learn to take the medicine in their system so they have God in their system at all times. Standing on the promises instead of sitting on the premises. Most Christians are just sitting on the premises. God says, stand on the promises. Amen? All right, now, a couple of verses and we're through. Have you gotten anything out of this today? The benefits of God's Word. Now, verse 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these what? Promises. You might be what? Partakers. How many of you want to partake of God? It says, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And he goes through a whole list of things here, which is an amazing list. And he says in verse 8, 9, and 10, if you'll do these things, you'll never fall. So I take the Word of God, the promises of God, and then I go ahead and I add corresponding actions. I add patience. I add these things he lists there. That helps me to act on the Word of God. I don't like that believer because all they do is talk about the Bible. They're talking about promises. They're talking about claiming this and claiming that and speaking this and speaking that. Hallelujah, they've gotten hold of it. They've gotten hold of it. And just maybe we need to get hold of it a little bit more. So I will tell you this, World Outreach Christian Center, we are going to center up on the Spirit and the Word. That's where we're going to center up on the Spirit and the Word of God. We're not going to get off of that because those two, when they come together, it's like a nuclear explosion. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for what you're teaching us. We thank you for the revelation of your Word. Would you stand to your feet and just put your Bible in your seat there? We need to just spend a moment thanking God for revelation. You know, I've preached it, I've said it, and I'm sure that I could have said it better. You know, you always realize, man, this thing is not dependent on how clever I can speak. This thing has to be dependent on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Would you simply lift your hands now, close your eyes, don't look around, and begin to thank God for the benefits of His Word in your life. Would you just say, Lord, I thank you for benefits in my life. I thank you for the exceeding great and precious promises. Lord, I want to be like David. I want to be so hungry and in love with your Word that I get up before the sun gets up. I stay up late at night after the night watches. Lord, I want to be that hungry for your Word. Lord, may the Word never become a duty. May reading the Bible never become some religious transaction. May it be my life source, the Word. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these I might be a partaker of the divine nature, partaking of God Himself. In Jesus' name.